On June 7th, 2019, The Washington Post published an opinion piece by columnist Christine Emba entitled, "Men Are in Trouble. Incels Are Proof." Emba's piece is not the first on this topic, but it is the most compassionate. The response on Twitter was dismissive at best and contemptuous at worst. To me, it was just more of the same. For the past year, I've been immersing myself in their dark, strange, and lonely world, a world created entirely online, on platforms like Reddit, and forums like incels.co and lookism.net. In some ways, these communities are like any other you'd find flourishing on the web, where the veil of anonymity creates a sense of safety, where users can share their struggles, their secrets, their most wicked thoughts, free from public scorn, like a confessional booth, or some kind of support group. But over the past few years, this subculture has taken on a life of its own. In their quest to understand the cause of their pain, their isolation, and their emptiness, some of the most troubled members of our society have taken to these forums with an almost religious fervor. Tragically, several converts to the deeply cynical incel philosophy known as the Black Pill have gone on to commit acts of domestic terrorism. Spree killings, more than one or two each year since 2014, have been enacted by young men who identify as incel, who were, let's just say it, radicalized. Elliot Roger left a manifesto before killing six people and then himself on a college campus in Isla Vista, California. He is known as Saint Elliot in certain black-pilled communities. We'll get to him. It's hard not to draw comparisons, then, to Omar Mateen, who killed 49 people in an Orlando nightclub before being killed in a shootout, or to Dylan Roof, who shot 9 people in a church in Charleston, South Carolina. It's hard not to draw comparisons to the other radical ideologies of our days, to the jihadi movements like ISIL or the white supremacists that motivated people like Mateen and Roof. Those groups, too, tend to organize, recruit, and proselytize online. Those groups, too, are seductive to lonely or disenfranchised young men seeking purpose and acceptance and something like God. But those movements explicitly preach hatred. By promising a path toward redemption, they incite acts of violence. Incels don't. And yet, it has happened. So, the tech platforms took action. r/incels was banned, and its offshoots are quarantined. Websites like incels.me were taken down, and Google search engineers actively work to delist their wiki entries, removing them from search results. Now, deplatformed, disconnected, and relegated to the darkest corners of the deep web, incels are at odds with the outside world. The group has grown more exclusionary, more insular, and more desperate. Like so many of us in various aspects of our online lives, incels are living in an echo chamber. But on October 5th of 2018, I received a random DM on Twitter from one of them. Something unrelated, something about politics. We started talking, and it led me down the rabbit hole, right into the heart of the richly textured, verbally brilliant, inventively hilarious, shockingly offensive, and profoundly heartbreaking world of the incel.
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, good. Sounds like you're in transit somewhere.
Sorta. I'm walking. I can talk and walk.
Okay, good.
Well, it was shortly after the Toronto tragedy. I was on the Forever Alone subreddit, and the issue was is they were looking at what he did and saying, well, there's no excuse for what he did. And it's not good, but they look at what they themselves do to the people around them, and they say, well, I have no choice. I'm mentally ill. Well, what if Alec Manassian can't help it? It's not good, but we understand that while these things aren't good, what we have to do is rehabilitate these people. But they said, Alec Manassian is not like me. Even if he is mentally ill, I don't care. So I said, this doesn't sit right with me. But what I need to do is reach out to the people who are making the articles and are on the TV shows and so on, because I want to contribute. And I figured the only way I'm going to be able to contribute on the behalf of incel is to make it official and join their club. Because before I even knew what the word incel was, I was an incel. I didn't necessarily believe in the whole ideology, but I am incel enough that I belong there. And I'm willing to join if it means I can advocate for these people that aren't being voted for.
Well.
From Crawl Space Media, I'm Nama Cates, and this is Incel. Subject. Here's my story, Morning Glory. Here it is. Wordcounter.net says this is 6,005 words and 33,159 characters of every grievance that popped into my head as I thought about the questions you asked me. I'm going to apologize in advance for this. Thanks for reading. I go by Frothy Solutions. I think I'm the only one who goes by Frothy Solutions, so if you see Frothy Solutions around the internet, that guy's probably me. Believe it or not, this name took a long time to think up. I wanted it to be a reference to my job at a software solutions firm, but also my dependence on energy drinks. Energy drinks are frothy, I guess I rationalized. Let's get into my plight. I'm 46 years old, I'm 5'5", and the least my shortness could do is help me look young, but it doesn't. I'm bald, or as my homies in the community with their deep consideration of the body, an ultra-specific lexicon might put it, Norwood 7. My dick? Well, what man is truly happy with his dick, am I right? Long story short, I identify as incel. Also alt-right, I guess, if I had to pick between alt-right and far-left, as per the topic of your piece. Now, I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth or assume how much of this is going into that piece, but I'm guessing the people going over me, going over my laundry list of things I don't like about myself, are thinking, there's his first mistake. He's insecure, obsessed with the minutiae of his body. He needs confidence in himself. And I'll get to that. I'm going to get to a lot of things. This is the opening of the email that began my correspondence with Frothy. Though to call it an email seems a little unfair. It's a brilliant piece of writing, with a strong authorial voice, reminiscent at times of Jim Thompson, the hard-boiled L.A. crime writer, with its dark humor and impeccable use of dialect. It pulled me in, caught me off guard, and finally moved me to tears, as I read it, all 6,005 words of it, in the wee hours of the morning, while the dark of night gave way to dawn. As you heard a couple minutes back, over the opening music, Frothy told me he wanted to advocate on behalf of incels, those people who aren't being spoken for. So far, he's done a heck of a job, because what I've learned from him, and from nearly everyone I've interviewed during the course of my research so far, is that, in the words of Elf, an incel I met on Twitter, they're all very different people, and it's not a movement. It's a life situation. So, why the misperception?
Well, there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of rhetoric.
Right.
It's no secret that there's a lot of angry words thrown around. That is true. We do say a lot of we're not to speak so highly of myself, but for the most part, we don't tend to speak with as much nuance as I was going for when I sent you that message.
He's right. A lot of the rhetoric we associate with the group is very angry. Some of it is downright hateful. But when people feel heard, they stop hating. I don't remember when I first became aware of the word incel. It was probably a few years ago. Neologisms tend to jump out at me, as do strange cultural phenomena, especially those that are born somehow of technology. As a late-stage millennial, I can't really remember a world before the web. My parents were early adopters of the internet, and I can recall my first time sitting in front of the eCrew IBM 330 desktop, listening to the scratchy connection of the dial-up modem as vividly as any other childhood memory. My first AOL screen name was Jewel10243, and Robin911, and Sunshine546, and Sapphire546. We weren't supposed to have burners, not with a proper AOL account. But even back then, I was endlessly fascinated with the nebulous nature of identity online. I drifted in and out of the sanctioned chat rooms for kids and teens, before graduating to IRC and special interest sites for grown-ups. I always loved reading profiles and perfecting my own. I wasn't quite a catfish, but then this was all pre-Web 2.0. The first stage of the internet, Web 1, was characterized by simple static websites. Basically, content that was published and updated by the host and could be read by users. These pages were written in HTML, which meant that some technical knowledge was required to set them up. Interactivity was restricted to guest books, which allowed users to leave comments without slowing down the site. In 1999, the term Web 2.0 was coined by Darcy DiNucci in her piece for the tech journal Print, in which she described a future where the web would become fragmented as the technology grew beyond the desktop computer. The term, as she used it, referred to the next stage of the web, but not the way we understand it now, so it didn't quite mean the same thing. It didn't really take hold until 2004, during a conference by the same name, Web 2.0, when John Battelle and Tim O'Reilly discussed the paradigm shift of the web as a platform. The new model involved software applications built directly onto the web, rather than a desktop, allowing users to generate content in the form of text, photos, videos, and ideas, and the technology to publish them immediately. Customers are building your business for you, they said. That same year, Mark Zuckerberg launched Facebook. There's another term that didn't take hold, didn't quite capture the imagination when it was originally coined. This term, incel, is something known as a blend word or a portmanteau, a word made from parts of two other words, like brunch or infosec or sharpeagle. It was coined in 1993 by a Canadian university student, a female named Alana Boltwood, who's gone on to become a software developer in Toronto. She created a website called the Involuntary Celibate Project that invited people to share their experiences of sexual inactivity online. She was researching loneliness. It was meant to be an inclusive forum, a support group for men and women struggling with marginalization. But like with Web 2.0 and Darcy DiNucci, the original iteration of the word incel sort of lived and died with its female creator, until it was co-opted years later by a bunch of guys. In the early 2000s, it experienced a revival and some momentum in forums like loveshy.com and incel support, which were truer to the initial intent. Mutual aid societies, like AA, for the increasingly male members to commiserate over their romantic rejection. But over the next decade, those communities began to overlap with the notorious 4chan, home to the hacker collective Anonymous. 4chan is an image board website, started in 2003 by a 15-year-old from New York named Christopher Poole. He based it on the Japanese Futuba channel, known as 2chan, primarily a place to discuss manga and anime, styles of Japanese animation. With few rules and no registration system, allowing users to post completely anonymously without any kind of fixed username, 4chan became a haven for shocking content, inside jokes, and online pranks. It was the birthplace to a great deal of mainstream internet culture, the place that popularized the user-created memes we see all over social media today. It's also home to the more shadowy corners of the web, and to many subcultures deemed too offensive for the mainstream. An inevitable destination for communities of individuals who don't conform to polite society. Outcasts who once congregated under the cover of night in city streets or drug-fueled nightclubs, and who could now find each other from the privacy of their bedrooms, would have probably spent some time on 4chan in the mid-2000s. And thus, in keeping with 4chan's antisocial aesthetic of dark and disruptive humor, this once altruistic community gradually morphed into what it is today. One filled with misogyny, race baiting, and calls to violence or self-harm. Incels eventually found their home on another relatively anonymous, but decidedly mainstream social media platform, Reddit. Reddit is where it all began for me. And I have to tell you, it gets kind of wild.
When I told my manager I was fasting for Ramadan, they had a whole ass meeting to discuss how to make my fast easier by changing my shifts and their durations. Also had a mini presentation about it so everyone understands what I'm doing and why.
Salam, my sister. Will your fasting also include putting Chad's pork sausage down and keeping it out of your mouth? I didn't think so. LOL, she'll fast from food but not from Chad's cock, like a typical westernized Muslim roastie. Sharia win. These whores would be stoned. Chad's sausage is totally halal. It is even encouraged to keep depression away during the fasting month. Remember, Chad transcends religion. Chad can fly into a black hole and come back easily.
There are actually Islamocells that literally believe in, like, you know, Western capitalism and believe that, you know, women should be treated like in the Middle East, and that should be how we should fix incelism. It goes that far.
This is Neo, one of the first people I reached out to when I began my research, after coming across his elegant prose on the quarantine subreddit, Our Brain Cells. Neo is a scholar on inceldom, the first I've encountered. He's also hilarious, brilliant, and incredibly engaging, with some experience in media. Neo told me that during his libertarian phase, his videos were frequently featured on Alex Jones's network. He has an uncanny way of connecting disparate dots from the far-flung corners of some of my favorite subjects, philosophy, history, psychology, and pop culture.
You know, the Elliot Rodger thing happened a long time ago. When you think about it, and you add another year to, like, how I was really only really investigating this a year ago. So, yeah. Elliot Rodger was my primary point of focus at first. Read his manifesto, learned pretty much most of the terminology from just cross-referencing Elliot Rodger and all of his exploits throughout his life and everything. Learned about the incel community, learned about the POA community. Everything kind of daisy chain, you know? I would generally just call it like this kind of weird Venn diagram between like the alt-right and like MRA, MGTOW, Red Pill. They all kind of use the same terminology, and they all kind of have a very similar sort of common perspective at the core.
Yes.
And besides that, it's just like a multiple tentacled creature, like a hydra or something.
The multiple tentacled hydra, as Neo referred to it, of the men's rights movement, was spearheaded by a charismatic crop of dating gurus and their devotees known as the pickup artist community, Neo explains.
So the pickup artist community is pretty much dead now, because I think it led to, like, some famous rapes and stuff. So everything pretty much leads to horrible stuff, apparently, in this world. But, yeah, the pickup artist community started back, I don't know how long ago it was. I mean, maybe, what, like 10 years ago or something? Could have been that long ago. There was a writer.
Probably not even. Yeah. Oh, that book, The Game. The Game, yes. Uh-huh.
And the writer went by the handle of Style, I believe. And he wrote about this other, I guess, the original guru whose name, which I don't know his name, but his handle was Mystery.
Okay, we don't know his name. I thought that was something I
maybe came out later.
I could track it down.
Yeah. Okay.
But I mean, his handle is Mystery and he's known by Mystery, I'm pretty sure. So his whole entire approach was that he himself said that he used to be this very awkward person. And through understanding social dynamics, he broke down and reverse engineered the rules of human attraction.
Right.
And they actually even did a parody of this on Always Sunny through like the Dennis system. But I won't get into that. But
okay.
But it had to do with pretty much finding these ways to almost gamify relationships where, you know, you would actually enter and then it was almost like a flow chart. You would almost like martial arts. I think he was a martial artist. Now that I think about it, I think he, from what I remember, he did say that he may have actually been into Kenpo in the past. And martial arts is interesting in that it's all just a matter of learning these patterns of reaction where if someone you know, pushes you here, then your reaction is to grab them here and everything becomes almost just like a master of chess.
A strategy, a chess game.
Yeah.
And I don't think that there's, I don't think that there's nothing to this. I don't think it's necessarily inherently misogynistic. I mean, for women, we've had this book called The Rules.
Yes.
That's been around for longer. And supposedly these rules, and I kind of believe it to an extent, it's true. It's folklore, but they have been sort of, women are, you know, told to be selective, to not, you know, give away that they, there's all these arbitrary little rules, just like the PUA stuff, where it's gamified, it's codified, instead of just using common sense or whatever. You have to know you don't accept plans for a Friday after, for a weekend after a Wednesday, and you don't ever this, and you know, you wait this amount of time, and it's all this stuff, because it starts with this whole premise of like, you know, why is it that the guys that you're not really that interested in always fall in love with you, and the ones that you really, really don't really care after a while or whatever, and it says, well, you know, so what you should do is you should treat the ones that you're really interested in the way that you do the ones that you're kind of so-so about. And it's, to me, the reason that there is truth to this is because human beings like a chase and we like a challenge. And so it's not like it's untrue.
I mean, it's the inverse is human beings like the chase, but anything that's chase will run. So then you end up with this loop.
Right.
That is incompatible. So then that's kind of, you know, why we have these tricky games, I guess.
Connecting with Neo was an adventure in its own right. After exhaustively Googling his username, I found myself falling down a strange rabbit hole of posts on the unlisted incels.co. The incel community had seemingly turned on Neo, who'd apparently begun to change his tune, trying to dispel members of the whole concept of the Black Pill. They had a bunch of scathing threads about him, one of which detailed a story that he'd gotten married and that being with a cute white chick had gotten to his head. His last post was a year and a half ago, and he was no longer active on Reddit. I saw that he had a Twitter account under the same name. It wasn't active, had a handful of followers, and just a couple of tweets from over a year back. I tweeted at him, but figured he probably wasn't active on there either. I went to his likes. Only a handful of those, too. Mostly for tweets from one user, a woman named Alex. I went to her profile. She was a cute white chick. They lived in the same city, and she was a writer. Had just worked on a collection of Reddit short stories. My adrenaline was racing. She had no DM, so I tweeted at her, asking her to send a DM if she could. I stared at my phone for a few minutes, and then enabled notifications from Twitter in general, and her specifically. I've never done that before because I value my sanity. But now I'm on call. An hour or so later, I got a notification. What do you need? She messaged me. I asked her if she knew the user, Neomancer. The little typing indicator bubbled up next to her name. Those riveting little ellipses. Finally, you mean in person? After some back and forth, Alex agreed to talk to me.
So, hi.
Hello.
Nice to meet you, cyber meet you.
Yeah, it's nice to kind of meet you.
Just to get started, I found you by looking, I've been looking through boards on incels and inceldom and the black pill and all that for a while now for this project. And the way I found you was kind of, I don't exactly know how. I started reading some Neomancer's posts. You do know him in person, right?
Yes.
Do you mind telling me a little bit more about that?
Well, I know Neo cares about their privacy more than anything, so I can't really give away who they are or give too many clues about who they are.
Okay.
But, you know, because, I mean, rightfully so, they're kind of paranoid about that sort of thing. And especially when it comes to this sort of thing, there are a lot of people that are really angry.
One reason that I found Neo, besides that his writing really just stood out and was really, like, poetic, and there was, like, a post about, like, the myth of Pygmalion that I just thought was great, and was also that I thought, I found all this stuff that they sort of are talking about him in his absence, right, in these forums, and I thought, and a lot of them say things like, he started out all right, but then blah, 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 so I thought maybe he had been one of them at one point, and then kind of, like, abandoned the philosophy. And there are some interesting rumors about him online.
Do you know any?
Yeah, I do. I have them here. So,
do you know any? She just asked, in case you couldn't hear, without skipping a beat.
When I, this is just for me Googling, you know, Neomancer. And on the delisted incels.co, which I use VPN to get onto. So there's a post that says,
I present to you Neomancer, the biggest cuck on Reddit. Background. This dude is a guy who constantly parades that looks do not matter and that average men do well and do not need to be Chad. He is notable for being very aggressive about this. He is also a cuck tears regular. He bases his false views on the fact that he is married to a cute white girl despite being an average at best looking Asian dude. He has posted very blurred pics of him and his wife on our brain cells multiple times. However, here's the kicker. His wife's parents disapprove of Neomancer because they're apparently legit racist. But rather than actually stand up for her husband to them, she simply does nothing and allows him to take the abuse. He even apparently, I cannot confirm this, took her last name. Everyone hates him there, but as it's our brain cells, normies are invincible. It's hilarious and infuriating at the same time.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I find a lot of stuff on there to be sort of mythologized truth, you know?
That's very mythologized.
Okay.
I will say, Neomancer didn't take anybody's last name.
Okay.
And his wife's parents actually have died many years ago.
Okay.
So, like, there's no... there was, I don't really remember, I'd have to, like, really think about it. There might have been, like, some racial tension about their parent, but, like, as far as I remember, they died many years ago, so.
Okay.
It's not really, like, anything, but that's definitely mythological. Yeah. It's weird. I mean, of course, like I said, I'm not really going to say neither here nor there whether Neo's girlfriend's cute or not. But, like, it's a lot of that just seems like anything that they would take that's somewhat factual, they wanted to create this figure that it would make sense for their narrative.
Mm-hmm. Which they always do.
Exactly.
I have to admit that when I found you, on Twitter and saw your picture and saw that you were a writer and that you seem to be, by all accounts, a very cute white girl, I thought maybe this is the girlfriend or the wife.
No comment.
No comment. Okay.
Well, there it was. We all know what no comment means. Alex's concern is valid, but she was game to speak with me, as long as I identified her by first name only. She's a good sport, and a great writer, with plenty of valuable insights of her own. She's also definitely Neo's girlfriend. He confirmed it himself when we spoke, and gave me his side of the whole wild story. When Incel continues.